Hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast, your weekly dose of inspiration and exploration. Join me, your host, Sam Harris, as I discover how mindset can help you do incredible things through my conversations with the world's most interesting people, from tech billionaires to leading scientists, best-selling authors to notorious hackers. The goal is to increase our collective wisdom and attitudes to make us all happier and healthier, wiser and wealthier. Who doesn't want that? Today, I have Catherine Binkley on the podcast. She is a success coach helping women achieve awesome things. She's just a delightful bundle of amazing advice, and it was a joy to spend time with her and tap into her wisdom. We cover some of the most important things that you need to know about changing your mindsets, how to be original, how to find your voice, how to market yourself, and just how to show up in life. This is a really special conversation with a special lady, so stick around and enjoy it.
I'm Catherine Binkley. I'm a business strategist and coach. I have a deep, deep background in strategic marketing, but also went to school for psychology. And so I talk a lot about both marketing and mindset. I help female entrepreneurs build a profitable business that lights them up. And I absolutely love what I do.
Cool. So what would you say would be like the kind of things that one should know about when starting a business? Because obviously people just expect it to be easy, but what are the things that people should know that isn't easy, that's like, actually, there's things people always do get wrong, and if they just knew to spend some more time doing this one thing, their life would be better?
So on the marketing side, it's easy for someone to think, okay, I'm really good at what I do, and I just have to show up and do what I do, but then all of a sudden they learn that, okay, no, now I have to figure out how to brand myself, and I have to figure out how to post on social media, and not only what to post, but when to post and where my people are. And, oh, wait, who is my target audience? And, you know, what do they need to hear? The list continues to go on and on and on. And they feel like, okay, now I need to learn how to create videos and edit videos. And I've got to create a podcast, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And it's
too
unlimited.
Many sort of channels where you've got to sort of be available all the time.
Yes. And so you can keep going down this rabbit hole of all the things you need to learn to do. And you don't have to do all of those things, first of all. You can just choose a few simple things. You just have to make sure that you have the right things. And so that's part of what I share, in the sense of there's no one right answer. Every single business owner can create a custom strategy to book in more clients for them. And what that looks like can be completely different and will be different, should be different, because everyone has a different definition of success. So why should you do the same thing that you see someone else do if your goals are completely different, your target audience is different, your business model is different? And so figuring out what you really want, getting clear on that, and then putting a plan in place that covers just the key components, and just sticking with that and doing it over and over and over again, and getting really good at it, not shifting gears.
So what is your end goal? And now what are the things that you focus on being really good at to reach your goal?
Yeah. So I like to talk about building a business and a life that light you up. And so again, that does look different for everyone. And for me, that looks like not working all the time. It looks like working, you know, half days roughly. Now I like to work, so I don't mind doing what I love, but working half days, traveling a lot, being able to completely set my schedule, work when I want, where I want, and with whomever I want, that I enjoy being around. For me, it's all about freedom and independence. I want to be completely independent, not rely on anyone, and have total freedom and choice, autonomy to do.
So those are like your internal goals of like how you want to do things. What are your like external goals? Like what are the things that you want to do in the world?
I am on a mission to help women, specifically female entrepreneurs, see their potential and achieve it. And it's always been my mission. It hasn't always been specific to female entrepreneurs, but my entire life that has been my call. And I didn't realize it right away. That's just what I felt naturally pulled towards. But whether it's an organization, a nonprofit, a business, an individual that I meet, my husband, my kids, whomever I come into contact with, I want to help them dream bigger, see what's actually possible for them that they don't even realize yet, and then figure out how to achieve it.
Cool. So what are like the key things that you focus on to get the results that you want?
So mindset is the foundation of it all. So having a healthy mindset practice for me looks like at least at a minimum spending time every single day journaling and just processing. I also find that my journaling becomes a tool for me to repurpose content. And I feel like if I'm feeling this way, then there are others who are feeling this way. And, you know, if I'm still processing or working through something, I'll hold off on that. But a lot of times there are core messages in there that turn into great content to share or to expand on for my audience. So it's also great for that purpose. If I just got finished journaling about it, then I'm lit up on, you know, I'm on fire about that topic. And so it's a great thing to transition into my marketing, and it makes it more seamless and smooth versus trying to figure out, what am I going to talk about today on Facebook? What am I going to put on Instagram? Like, no, I have this message. It's something that's really on my heart right now, and I just use that to share. And I already mentioned that, but learning is huge for me. So every single day, finding some way, whether it's listening to a podcast, reading, listening to books. And then on top of that, from a strategic perspective, making sure that I'm clear on what my strategy is, how I'm going to get visible, how I'm going to generate leads, how I'm going to convert those into sales, and creating a process for me.
Yeah, I wanted to go a bit more into this. And how do you make sales? And what do you say? You sell coaching to female entrepreneurs?
I do. So I offer coaching in various formats and also some self-study materials. So there's a wide range there, and it really depends on the service level. So for my more intense one-on-one coaching, group coaching, I like to speak to clients first. I only want to work with the people that I want to work with, and I like to handpick them. So that sales process looks a little different than someone coming into a self-study course. And so there are a couple of different approaches for me and my business. In general, I like to automate the self-study. So if we're going to get into the nuts and bolts, like a quick overview would be, of course, consistently building and growing my email list, my Facebook community, but driving people to an automated evergreen webinar and pitching the self-study. And then people can either move up from the self-study and rise up to the top, bubble up and ask for more support and turn into group or one-on-one coaching clients. I don't recommend you start straight away with automation and a funnel, because it needs to work before you automate it. So that's a key point there. Just because I'm doing this isn't necessarily where I tell you to start, but I have free content out there that people see. I expand that through. Sometimes I use Facebook ads, Instagram ads to get more eyeballs on my content. And then it's free content that they can consume, retarget them with something that they can opt in for, a lead magnet, something along those lines. Once they download that, then there's a series of emails that they get, and walk them through, give them an opportunity at different points to ask for help and continue to nurture them through email and give them opportunities. Always, always giving opportunities for them to raise their hand at the right time, because someone may be ready right away or they might not be ready until a year from now.
Just out of interest, you know, you do all the things for female entrepreneurs. It would obviously be fine for a guy to kind of consume all of your content, technically speaking, but you just don't coach guys.
Yeah. So here's the thing. What I found is when polling my audience, I was attracting a lot of women naturally, and they said that they felt more comfortable in a group of other women. And so I went down that path, but all of my content is relevant to anyone. And if there's a guy that wants to work with me, I will do that, but on a one-on-one basis versus a group coaching, because my group coaching and even my self-study, which has a community element to it, I want to create that safe space that they've asked for.
Okay. Been talking about mindsets and things, and there's like victim versus victor mindset, where you sort of feel like the world's sort of against you. Do you feel like some women feel like they have a hard time just because they're a woman?
I can't control how everyone feels, but what I can do when my clients come to me is empower them to look at facts versus feelings. And some women have had some experiences that are perhaps in part because they're a woman, and sometimes they're playing that role. And so I help them define when it's a fact, when it's a feeling. But what I'll say is that's not the topic that I coach around.
Yeah, okay. Because I was wondering if you do have any techniques to try and like help people be like, actually, this is a silly way to talk to myself. What is the better way?
Well, first of all, I don't think that being a woman makes you a victim. I think that we can talk to women in a way that's very empowering. And so I don't like to use anything as an excuse in general. And so go far beyond this conversation of gender. No matter what's going on in your life, if you're feeling like a victim to your circumstances, if things are happening to you, or you just can't seem to figure out how to, whatever it is, then you're working within a victim mindset. And so, yeah, there are definitely some techniques to figure out how to overcome that. And first and foremost, the techniques are around generating awareness. Someone has to realize that they do have a choice in how they view and respond to things. They may not be able to choose every single thing that happens in their life, but they can choose whether they're viewing it as something that's happening to them, against them, versus how it's benefiting them, what the opportunity is, how they can learn from it, be grateful for it. So yeah, that first step is simply awareness of the fact that you have a choice.
Yeah, cool. Can you go to a time in your past where you had like a psychological mindset change and sort of how that helped you and what it was you then had to tell yourself?
Sure. So around 5 years ago, it was just before I started my business. I had climbed the corporate ladder. I was working all the time. I loved the work that I was doing, but not the lifestyle that I had. And I take full responsibility for that. I am the one who was the high achiever and took more and more responsibility on, but I didn't like how that was showing up in my life. And so I started to more seriously consider something that had been in the back of my mind for a while, and that was starting my business. And I know that around that time, there was a lot that, and there's been so much more since then, but there was a lot that had to go into the decision just to make that shift of starting my own business and believing that it was not only possible, but inevitable that I would be successful. And I think that that shift alone, knowing that this wasn't just something to try out, but to decide from the very beginning that it was going to work out, to know that there was no plan B, there was no other option except for success, I think was major.
Did you like deliberately set up the scenario where like you felt you didn't have any other option because of, well, other than success?
Yeah. So I mean, it was a conscious decision to go all in, and it's still something I think every day is a choice that you make to not give in, to not go the easy route, to not give up, to not create plan Bs or to think about what if this doesn't work out, but just to stay in that realm of this is going to work out. And by saying that I believe my success was inevitable, that never meant that I wouldn't fail at anything. It meant that I just wouldn't give up.
Cool. So you had a background in marketing before that.
Yeah.
So what would you say would be your top tips in marketing?
There are so many things that you can do, but you don't need to do all of them. You do need to make sure that you have a clear strategy for how you're going to get visible, generate leads, and make sales. As long as you have all of those components, you will be good to go. If you're clear on a strategy for your visibility, lead gen, and sales, you're good. So what do I mean by that? I mean that a lot of people show up to marketing looking at tactics, and they choose one thing and they think that that's the magic bullet that's going to work for them. And now all of a sudden my business is going to blow up because I'm going to post on Instagram every day, or I'm going to do stories every day, or I'm going to run Facebook ads and this is going to change my business. Well, no single thing has that power. And oftentimes what I find is someone shows up, and if you look at those four components, strategy, visibility, lead gen, and sales, one or more are missing. So I've seen so many people show up online and they're consistently putting out content, but they're never promoting. They're never asking for the sale, and you can't have a successful business. No matter how huge your following is, if you're never making money, then you don't have a successful business. It's not going to be self-sustaining. right? You have to make money to keep the business running. I've seen people go out and immediately try to make sales, but not build up their audience. And that doesn't work either. You don't have enough people to sell to. Or maybe they're missing the lead gen piece, which includes the nurturing of their audience. And they're skipping, they're getting visible and they're trying to sell, but they're showing up and asking for the sale immediately, almost as if it's a one night stand, and not giving time to build the relationship in between and taking little steps to generate that lead, to qualify that lead, to nurture that lead before asking for the sale.
Yeah, it's like human psychology of actually they kind of need to see you in a few different places, and depending on like what the size of the like financial thing is that they're buying from you, is depends on like what kind of information they need to see. So like your coaching course, you know, they might need to see a few posts and think they're cool. They might need to then read a blog article or a few that are like 5 minutes, then they'll watch your webinar for like an hour before they'd even consider like booking, you know, a few hours worth of coaching with you. Like if you just sort of showed up on the day, it's like, hey, book me, like pay like your $100 or whatever, you no chance kind of thing. But if they've had all that, like they kind of see you as like this person that definitely knows everything they need to know, and they've got these questions ready for you. And so yeah, thinking what the journey is.
Absolutely. So there's got to be each of those steps in place. And I alluded to this earlier, but you don't have to do all of the things to get visible, or all of the things to generate leads, or all of the ways to make sales. You need to choose, literally just choose one and stick with it. But know that when you show up, your call to action is going to be to sign up for this freebie or join a Facebook group, whatever your way of generating leads is, choose one. That's always your call to action, and you focus on that. And then once they take that step, knowing that you have a clear process to nurture them and then lead to that sale. Once you can do that manually, then you can start talking about automating it, which is amazing.
Yeah, cool. What would you say is the biggest mistake people usually make aside of the ones you've just outlined?
Not knowing who their audience is would be the biggest mistake that I see people make outside of not having that clear process. Because if you do have that process and you're not clear on who your target audience is, then you're going to get visible. And that's part of strategy. So for me, target audience is a component of figuring out strategically how you're going to move forward. But if you don't know your audience, then your offer could be out of alignment, your messaging, your branding, your pricing, where you're getting visible to show up with your marketing. You could be in the wrong places. Everything ties back to your target audience. And too many people gloss over that very quickly or decide very quickly and don't intentionally take the time to do the research and really understand their audience. It's one thing to say who they are. It's another to really understand them, to know their pain points, to know their desires, because it's about them. Everything that you do in marketing, you've got to make it about them and not you. So you have to understand them. You have to use the language that they use. You have to really take that time up front, or else everything that you put in place with the rest of the process, you may find yourself eventually pivoting, niching down, whatever, and then redoing all of that, which is huge waste. Yeah.
Definitely. And it is like a harder decision to make, and it feels like work up front that's perhaps cutting you off from potential audience, but actually you're sort of cutting yourself off from all of the options when you don't actually really choose one kind of thing. Because if you sort of went, so like, oh, I'll coach anyone, you know, you've got like billionaires, or you've got like startup entrepreneurs, you've got like women, there's so many different people, none of whom would go to a coach for just anyone. They'd want to go for the coach just for women or just for a billionaire kind of thing. And so they're never actually going to choose you. Whereas, you know, you went down a specific vertical, and then suddenly everyone in that vertical is like, oh, she is the one, talk to her kind of thing.
Yes, people want specialists. I mean, I like to think about surgery. If you needed to have open heart surgery,
yeah, I would go to. Yeah, I'd get to the heart guy.
Exactly. So people want specialists. They hire specialists, and all of your content, all of your marketing is then tailored around that specialty and to that audience, so that it's in alignment. If you try to be everything to everyone, you don't have enough resources. Especially as a startup, you can't afford to market to everyone. Even if you feel like you want to or could help everyone, you don't have the resources to be able to do that.
Yeah. And there's also the problem that you might end up having an audience choose you that isn't the audience you want. So on the coaching example, you might just try and do like a first few free ones, which you'll just get like some startup entrepreneurs. who are great, but like, if they've never got any money, but you become known as like the startup entrepreneur person, you'll have like all these people that were never going to be able to pay you, and you can never actually make their business like take off or something. And then you're stuck with clients that you don't want, giving them something that you don't want to be doing. So if your audience uses you, but they're not the ones you want, end up doing work you don't enjoy, and life's terrible. So
yeah, you've got to figure out how you want to spend every day. What do you want to talk about every day? So there's this, the whole idea of figuring out your audience and knowing them, but then selfishly, you still have to know. I mean, if you're going to show up and spend every single day talking about the same thing, what's that going to be? Because you can get bored with something and change your mind. It's not that you can't pivot, but that doesn't make a lot of business sense to build something. And then if you know that it's not long-term going to be sustainable. And so I don't recommend changing your business model every time you get bored.
Definitely try and find things that you're more passionate about and really interested in. Okay, cool. Then on marketing and mindsets, first marketing, what do you think is going to be the next big thing in like 5 years' time? So what do you think is going to be the big trend change?
Great question. What I know now is that we've gone through a season of everyone becoming a publisher. It went from marketing being tied to only those who could afford to market because you had to pay to play, to now everyone is their own publisher. It's good for us, first of all. The fortunate part is that we can all put our message out there. It's easy to do. It's easier than ever to do. But unfortunately, now that means that there are that many more marketing messages in the world. And it was already a crowded space from a marketing standpoint, and individuals being bombarded every single day with so much content that now it's just everywhere you turn, and it's easy to be ignored. So I think that there's going to be this transition from just because you're putting out content, people listen, like that's not going to work anymore. Yeah. You're really going to have to figure out how to stand out and how to be unique. And that's always been a part of marketing, but I feel like it's just going to be that much more important simply because everyone can create content. You know, you've got to demand their attention. You have to capture their attention.
But they deserve their attention.
Yeah, exactly. Because people have so many options. You can log on line right now and find a million people going live on marketing and how to build and grow a business. And you can find YouTube videos and podcasts, and there's a ton of content out there, and it's incredible content, but how do you stand out from everyone? And that's going to be huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So overwhelming now, the amount of content and things, and it's so much easier to make it and cheaper, and like, there's so much stuff. But then at the same time, you kind of, well, it feels like, I mean, it's hard because of this is where I'm at, and you know, you kind of feel like everyone sort of knows what you know, but it often isn't the case. But I do sort of feel like people are trying to get away from social media a bit more, and like all these sort of demands on their time, and they kind of just want to have like less content and be more focused. And I'm even trying to find time to not have content and just have my own thoughts, like turn everything off, and other than doing that.
That's a valid point, because I know that there are clients of mine who have said, I was going to talk about this topic, and then I hopped online and so-and-so was talking about this topic, and I felt like they're already talking about it. What do I have to say? Well, of course you have something to say. You have a unique perspective. And so there's that balance of knowing when to continue to talk and put out your thoughts, but even taking the time to have original thoughts and make sure that you're not just simply repeating something that you've heard someone else say. And there's so many things. So it's really fascinating. There's been this huge shift from the beginning of my marketing career to now related to this idea of content. And even from the sales standpoint, because early in my career, people reached out earlier in the process when they were considering or thinking about something to speak to someone in a sales role, quote unquote, whether they had that title or not, they would reach out to ask questions and understand. But now, everything's shifting and consumers have not just enough information, more than enough information. They're overwhelmed with information and they're waiting longer and longer to reach out because they can pretty much make a decision based on all that's in front of them. They have the pros and cons, and they have all the competitors to compare, and they have this and they have that. Now, they may not have the full support that they need around their mindset. And so I think that that's huge, still talking about mindset, because a lot of people won't move forward based on their own limiting beliefs or fears. And that's the part of the sales conversation that I think needs to happen. They have what you offer, what's included. They already know the price. They already, like, all that content is already out there. I'm sure it's, you know, companies are putting that out there. We're all putting that out there. If someone wants to know, they can find it. It's now helping coach them through what's the best choice for them and believing themselves to even want to move forward. So I don't know. That's another shift that I've seen.
That's really interesting. Thanks.
What would you say has been your favorite book?
My favorite book is Drive by Daniel Pink. And he talks about what actually motivates people. And I read it a long time ago, and it has implications for marketing, for mindset, for leadership. You can read the same book and get so many takeaways depending on the lens with which you're viewing it. But he talks about these three main things that motivate people. And it's not what you typically think. It's not, you know, the carrot and stick reward system of holding a promotion over someone's head or something like that. He talks about purpose, mastery, and autonomy. And the first time I read it, I was just like, oh my goodness, he is so right. Like, that is why I do what I do. It's for the sense of purpose, for the sense of the, you know, for the ability to learn, to continue to grow. And that's mastery. And then freedom and independence, which falls under autonomy. My business allows me to have all three. And so that's, I mean, I love what I do because I have all of those three fulfilled. I've been in positions before where only one of the three were met or only a couple were met, and it's just not the same.
Nice. Then what is the kindest thing that anyone has ever done for you?
There was a colleague of mine that I worked with, my first position right out of college, and maybe no one would pinpoint that and say it was the kindest thing, but looking back, he gave me opportunities and responsibility before I may have been ready. He allowed me to learn and to grow and to fail. And he was right there with me teaching me. And looking back, I mean, that completely set the stage for my entire career, that he actually gave me those opportunities to hop in, to learn and consume everything, to give it a try, to learn by doing and not just
give you
watching.
And to try and do something a bit out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with that.
There's a big risk on that part. Yeah, that's a really good answer, actually. I've been thinking about that sort of thing and trying to how to like empower that myself for others and sort of give people these opportunities. Or like reflecting on when I've had like opportunities like ahead of schedule and be like, wow, I've realized how much could have gone wrong. This person sort of trusted me to do something that I totally shouldn't have been allowed to do, kind of thing.
Yeah. I've had some thoughts around that as well. I'm at the stage now where I'm building out a team and doing a lot of reflecting on the kind of leader that I want to be. And I want to give my team an opportunity to fail. And so, yeah, it's interesting that because you could hear that and think, whoa, that like when you phrase it that way, like giving them an opportunity to fail is kind, but yeah, it absolutely is because there's so much learning that happens. There's so much growth that happens when you create that kind of an environment where it's okay to fail. I mean, it's not ideal to fail. Like, we're going to not aim for failure, right? But if you do, it's okay. And we're going to give you space to stretch and grow, which could mean that you have a few bumps in the road. And that's okay to expect those.
Cool. Nice. Final question is, well, actually, it's not the final question, but the final of the main questions is, what's your most vivid memory from childhood?
Probably sitting on the porch swing with my mom when I was 6 years old. She was singing to me and I was sitting in her lap. She was singing to me a song that she made up and she sang many times and I don't remember the lyrics verbatim at all, but she was singing to me about how we were going to be okay. My parents were divorced and so my dad had just left. I was the oldest of five siblings. All of them weren't like she was remarried later. So at that point when I was six, I didn't already have five, but I had younger siblings and she showed up really strong for me in that moment, even though she was having a really tough time. But I just remember sitting there with my head in her lap while she sang to me and just swing back and forth on the porch swing. And I know that that moment specifically was really important in how I showed up and how I became who I am today. The way that she showed up in that moment and the way that she supported me. And even though she didn't feel strong, she showed up strong, and that made me so fiercely independent. It's just crazy.
Ooh, well, respect to your mom and go her. Nice. Then, is there anything that I should have asked that I haven't have asked? And if I find out that you've done some like crazy cool thing, I'll like kick myself in not asking you about?
Oh my goodness. So there's a side that I don't talk about a whole lot.
Ooh, sounds good.
So I love to give back. So even though it doesn't relate specifically to my business, I've co-authored a book and spoken at conferences and worked with many, many organizations, nonprofits, and ministries to help with their marketing, and just, I guess, have a passion for that. But I don't talk about it a lot because I don't do it to talk about it. I do it to give back. And so there is a side of, I still work with pastors and churches to this day and give of my time and help them use the same principles, but to grow, even though they're not growing a business, they have organizations that can benefit from the same principles. And oftentimes they don't have the resources or the understanding there of how much they need it.
Cool. That's nice. Then finally, do you have anything to ask me?
Yeah. So this is the Growth Mindset podcast. How did you get into this topic? What initially interested you?
I guess it's like a good angle on something that I was really interested in. As in, I just interested in why people do anything. And every time I find someone that's sort of fascinating, regardless of what it is exactly, it's just like all verticals, there's always people that are being a bit unusual that I just love talking to and finding out about. And then having the podcast angle is just a great way to be really nosy, I guess, and just sort of do more of what I really enjoy doing, but like at another higher level of that. And so I guess it just opened up when you already sort of have the title of a bit of psychology in it and mindset to just be able to have that conversation with people and sort of find out what it is that makes them tick and how they've played with their mindsets to get what it is, what they're doing, whether they're like a billionaire or like an athlete or anything. It's sort of, there's always some mindsets involved. So it's nice to be able to like unpack that with them and just generally be a bit nosy and find out about life.
Gotcha. I'd love to ask one more follow-up too.
That's allowed.
Okay. If you could do anything and you had unlimited resources and you were not afraid at all, what would you do right now?
Anything with unlimited resources, I would start some form of huge fund to stop climate change and invest in like nuclear fusion research and massively reducing the cost of like bio clean energy and everything in that area would be my first thing probably, because climate seems like the first thing we should probably sort our lives out on. And if there's unlimited resources, then I'd plow that into just like innovation and solving the problem as quickly as possible.
That's good.
Yeah. What's your unlimited resources deepest thing you'd want to do?
Yeah. So for me, it's, you almost started to touch on it there in the sense of, if I really were to fulfill my mission and everyone understood their potential and achieved it, then it's all, I mean, thinking about the impact of that is overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is kind of what I'm doing with the podcast. And that's sort of, I didn't really explain, but as in, I did some sort of tutoring and coaching of people. And I just enjoyed it so much. But I felt like if I could scale that better, because a lot of people ask me sort of how I was doing well and like I could explain to people. But then a lot of it is like going to people like you and like other mentors and sort of just asking people that knew more than me about something to get to whatever the success I was having. But if I could just sort of give people like an insight into those conversations I was having, then I wouldn't need to then go and have that conversation with the next person. And instead it kind of would just broadcast all the useful stuff I was like getting, and empowering people to realize they could do anything. But in terms of like, I feel, yeah, it's a confusing one, because if you sort of empower everyone to like change the world, then you don't actually need to go and like change the world yourself, if you know what I mean. As in, if I prove to the world that they can sort of cure climate change, I don't have to be the one going and doing it.
Yeah, I think for me, it is about empowering everyone and knowing the ripple effect that that would have. So yeah, that means for me personally, you know, doing whatever it takes, no matter how scary it is, to reach as many people and impact as many people as possible. And then the things that they're most passionate about, like I love to think about that impact, even if it's not this idea of every single person understanding what they're capable of, just the few that I have touched creates a huge effect.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the conversation. You're awesome. And we'll be in touch.
Okay.
Thanks so much again for Catherine being on the show. Such a cool lady. Now, if you're into your inspiring women, next week we have another super cool lady on the show. Petra Volzabier is a mental health coach and therapist, and we go super deep into mindsets and depression and abuse. We go into my problems, her problems, the world's problems. We cover a lot of fun stuff, and she has some pretty radical ideas, and she is definitely a big presence, is a good way to describe her. She is, yeah, you'll definitely notice her. So yeah, stay tuned for the next show, and on that, enjoy your day.
You've just listened to an episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on your preferred app and give me a good rating, as these go a really long way. If you are unable to give good feedback right now, try sharing the show with a friend who will, or just wait for the show to improve. If you have any ideas for the show, or you just want to chat, then please reach out to me on Twitter at SamHarrisTweets or Instagram at SamJamSnaps. Show notes and other links to topics discussed in the episodes are available at the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. Give yourself a big hug from me. If you're with a friend, give them a hug as well. And I hope you enjoy your next podcast.
This podcast was kindly sponsored by Pantheon. No, Pantheon is not a wild animal. It's a WebOps platform offering high-performance hosting, dev tools, and automating your workflows. So dev teams that want to optimize their processes and deliver projects on time that are fully tested, then Pantheon.io is your one-stop portal of awesomeness. The platform has been built from the ground up for agility, and it's used by organizations such as Yale University and ACLU. According to statistics, it powers more enterprise-level Drupal and WordPress websites than any other platform. Note the enterprise level part of that. So if you have a small blog, then this might not be for you. But if you're running an enterprise, it's absolutely worth checking out. And you can view a welcome offer at pantheon.io/growth-mindset. Now, if you don't want to take my word for it, then they were ranked in the top 10 in G2's Best Software Awards this year, which is pretty high. And they were also named Inc.'s one of the best places to work, which is a really good sign, and it shows that the customer service is probably going to be quite good as well. So thanks, Pantheon, for keeping the lights on here at Growth Mindset HQ and not being a shitty employer.